up Dodge City. And what he did, he made all the people, when they came into Dodge, to check their guns in. Well, I'm going to be like a Wyatt Earp. I'm not going to have you check your guns in. By the way, but I am going to have to do this. Andy, I want you to come and help me. How many teenagers have a cell phone? I want you to put your cell phones in here. Check them in. Check them in. Check them in. Every cell phone, check them in. You come, if you come to this corral, you're going to have to check in. Check them in. Check your cell phone in. Check them in. You got it? You got one? Did everyone put one in? Put them in. I don't want no text messaging. What's happening? They don't talk, but they do. While preacher's preaching, they're writing these little messages on that little machine. And they know preacher's a Moses and don't know what's going on. They can get them after church. All teenagers. You adults, turn yours off. I don't want to be bothered. What do you got? Who's got one? You get another one, Andy. All teenagers, I want your phones. Every Sunday, Andy, we want to check these telephones in for the teenagers. By the way, if I catch you, you don't turn it in, and I catch you text messaging, you lose that phone. Because I'm going to take it and keep it. All right. By the way, Bob and Jamie are doing a tremendous job with our kids. Amen? You know, Friday night they went to a church over in Canton, I think it was. Yeah, had a great time. They had great preaching. Had a good group. I think they had around 25 kids or so. And I think Brother York brought his church also down. And then Saturday they went rafting or canoeing or something. And so they all got wet. They all got drenched. But they all had a good time. And I'm going to tell you something. It takes a lot to be a youth director. Teenagers will make your hair turn gray. And we got good kids. These are trying days for teenagers. And it takes a lot. You know, teenagers, I hope once in a while you'll write a note to Bobby and Jamie and say, hey, thanks for being a great youth director. They're not doing they're not doing it for that, but you know, a fitly word spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And some of you parents, wouldn't hurt some of you parents to say, hey, you know what? I've watched, you're doing a great job with my kids. Why don't we try to encourage them? Satan does a lot to discourage them. And do you know the average youth director only lasts 18 months? You kids are hard on youth directors. But that's not just Bethel. That's everywhere around the country. The average, not all of them. Some don't last a year, and some last longer. But our kids are important. I want you to know something. Brother Mark said it. I do care about you kids. I love you kids. And sometimes you think, well, preacher's mean and he's mad. No, preacher's fighting for your life. Amen. I just want the best for you kids' life. Amen. When you get older, you're going to look back and say, that fellow really wasn't, he really did care about me. But right now, I'm not helping with you right now because you want to do those things. See, you know what, Josh? How old are you, Joshy? 19. How are you, Andrew? Do you guys know something? At one time, preacher was your age. I've actually went through 14, 15. There was a day when I was 16. Now, I ran with Ben Franklin and them, but but there was a time. I mean, I know what it's like to be 13. I know what it's like to be 14, 15, 16. Because I've been there. So, don't think preacher don't know. I do know. And Levi, I know where preacher made a lot of mistakes. And that's why I sometimes I come down on you kids, because I don't want you to make the same mistakes I do. See, I've already been through it. I know what's good and what's bad. And I'm trying to wave a flag. Don't do this. I went down there. I got hurt. I don't want you to get hurt. Amen? And so, anyways, I'm glad you're here. Anthony, what are you doing? Wake up, Anthony. Anthony, are you text messaging? Okay, all right. Preacher loves you, son. Amen. I'm not text messaging, preacher. I'm trying to get some sleep. Turn your Bible to the book of Acts. And it's chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Brother Kativer, if this young man ever thinks about going into the service, you grab him. I guarantee he'd be a leader. That this kid's a leader. I'm serious. I'm talking about you, son. You really are. He can become great for God if he wants to. I believe that with all my heart. That kid's a sharp kid. I'm talking about you, son. You're a sharp kid. You're a good kid. And now you got leader. I don't want to scare you, but seriously, it's guys like you used to become preachers. Wouldn't it be cool if you became a preacher? He said, I came to church for this today. But you're the type of kid that God gets a hold of. Because he likes lead. God uses leaders. And it takes some kids with some guts and some fortitude. And that, because the ministry's not for sissies. And but anyways, there, Brother Kativer, I want you to make a soldier out of this kid right here. Because I think God's got a lot planned for his life. If we can get his heart, amen. Because you got a lot going for you. Seriously, you do. There's something special about your life, and I think God can do great things with you. I really believe. I'm not just saying that, and I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I really, God's put him hurt. This kid could be great for God. Amen? All righty. Now, turn your Bible to Acts chapter 17. I'm done with the kids for a while. Okay, kids? I'll leave off on you. You know preacher loves you, kids? Okay. You know what I thought I was going to do, Brother Mark? Maybe I'll announce it. I thought about Friday. I didn't do it, but you know, Monday, I think tomorrow, announcing school for all the kids who go to our school. If the teachers don't get mad at me, I want to get all the kids that get 100% this week in their classes, that do get 100% of their tests. I want you to, all the teachers of Bethel Baptist Christian Academy, I want you to write their name down on a piece of paper. And Friday, every kid in our school that's got 100, they have to have 100%. I will personally buy. Well, first of all, I'll pick one out of all of them, and whoever I pick, I'll buy 10 candy bars off of. Amen. That way, I won't have a chocolate attack in the middle of the night. Maybe I'll get one for Harley too. Amen. What does he like? Peanut Reese's cups? Do you like those? Anything? Okay. Amen. Alrighty. Acts, let's stand. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 through 32. How many got that? Okay, hold your finger there in Acts and go up one more book. Go to Romans. Romans chapter 2. Don't lose Acts. Romans chapter 2. Acts, John, Romans. You should have Acts 17, verse 30, and Romans chapter 2. How many's got that? All right, one verse in Romans, Romans 2, 16. Today I'm going to talk to you about our day in court. Every one of us, every person in this building is going to have their day in court. And Brother Andrew, as soon as I get done praying, can you bring that chalkboard up here? I want to use that chalkboard today. And I'm going to use, we've already erased, we're not going to erase yours. But on the backside, we've already erased that monkey, whatever's on there. We took that off. Okay. Look at verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, you know, we have a lot of things that we hide, and we think people don't know. Well, God knows. And one day God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And then look at Acts 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men, not just some, all men, everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed, watch this, we're going to be talking about our day in court today. That's the title of the message, our day in court. Because he has appointed a day. we all have an appointed day in court. In which he will judge. Here come the judge. He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, wherein he had given assurance unto all men that he had raised him from the dead. How many are glad you got a risen Savior and a real Savior? And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Yeah, people make fun of us. That's all right. But the Bible says in Psalms that God will laugh in their derision. Some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. And so Paul departed from among them. Now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that you let me use the thoughts of being in a courtroom one day. I pray that I can be a blessing to people today. This message is going to be kind of scattered and maybe teaching more than preaching. But I pray that the Holy Spirit will work up and down each aisle, and that you would help. That you would help each one to get the truth that I want them to have today. Help me to do well for you, Father, that I can be a blessing to your people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A few weeks ago, I was in court. I got a summons to be a juror, and you have to show up. And I wasn't selected as a juror, though, because the man that was on trial, he was up for drinking and driving. Just put it right up here. Can someone else help him? Go ahead, Lightning. Help him. And so anyway, I get nicknames for all the kids. And when they were doing prospective jurors and they were interviewing us, and Brother Mark, when he said, we knew the boy was up for driving, being drunk, driving. And they said, well, what's your feeling? I said, wine's a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whoso taketh is deceived thereby. They said, Pastor Skyver, we don't need your services any longer. I was cut from the list. It's amazing. You want to get out of jury duty? Just quote scripture. They'll get you out right away. And got out the rest of the day, too. And was out the rest of the week. And I noticed another thing about it. I'm going to share a few thoughts with you. When the Honorable Judge John Plow came in, I stood up. I was the only one that stood up. Everyone should stand up when the judge comes in. You know why? Because it shows that he's authority, just like God is our authority. And one day the judge of the world's going to be before us. Hello? And Brother Mike, what broke my heart, because how many of you have ever been in courtrooms? Either as you're plaintiff or you're there to help a juror. How many of you have ever been a juror? Yeah, I have been. How many of you have ever been? No, I'm not going to write that. Two things got my attention right away. One, they didn't even announce his coming. He just walked in, and the plaintiff didn't say, all rise. Although I did, when I saw, I did rise. And when they swore everybody in, they didn't have a Bible. And they didn't say, so help me God. They took God out. They took the Bible out. I didn't see a Bible in the courtroom. Yes, God. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. Psalms 33:12. I'm going to tell you right now, we better get back, and we better get our country back to the ways it was, because the liberals are destroying our country. And we better get back to the things of God. By the way, they're never going to get back until we get back. The Christian in the churches determine what goes on. Before they ever took the prayer out of the school, we quit praying in our homes. Before they ever took the Bible out of the schoolhouse, we took it out of our own house. And so we're faced with things today that our forefathers never, Brother Bruce, our forefathers never foresaw this. And I'm concerned. I really am concerned. And I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican. I'm concerned. Because we just need a nation under God. I don't care what power. I don't care what party you're in. I just want it under God. Amen. I want the Democratic Party under God. I want the Republican Party under God. I want the Independents under God. I don't care what banner you hold. I just want to hold the banner of Christ. Well, today I just want to share a few things with you. I hope they're a blessing to you. Usually every time I do something or go somewhere, God puts a thought. And I was only in that courtroom for that morning. It was a hurry. It was a lot like the service. You got to get there early and you wait. We waited for about 2 hours. And but they had coffee and donuts, so everybody was happy. And I want to share with you, did you notice Acts 17 and verse 31? Because God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world. How many see that? We all men, listen up, all men, all women, every person here, underneath the sound of my voice, or if you hear me through the way of the internet, all men, all women have a day that they're going to stand before God. No one escapes that. We all have a court appearing. We are going to appear before the court of God. Amen? I noted all people will have their day in God's courtroom, in God's throne room. Are you with me? All people, men and women, will stand before the Almighty. No one excluded. No one excluded. You know, Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die. But it doesn't stop. See, a lot of people think it stops after you die. No, and God didn't stop in his word. It's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. See, you don't die and it ends. No, it just, then you get ready for the judgment that begins eternity. See, you die, and then you have a court hearing, and then you're going to stand before the judge of the world, the Almighty, the Creator, and then he's going to give you a sentence. And hopefully, you've reached that, the mediator had a good trial lawyer to pull you out. Amen. Amen? I'll tell you about that trial lawyer in just a few minutes. Now, saved people will stand in a different judgment at a different time in a different place than the lost. Saved people will not be in the same courtroom as the lost people. Aren't you glad about that? Saved people will stand in the judgment seat of Christ. Can any of you kids write good? Amelia, you're a good girl. Come on, honey. You're good. You go to BBCA. I know you do. Come on, you're one of the... What I want you to do is write judgment seat. Judgment seat of Christ right here. Look at Romans. Look at Romans. I want you to turn... where are you at? Acts? Look at Romans. One of our BBCA students, Christian Academy. We're proud of her. Stay up there, okay? Judgment seat of Christ. Okay. Thank you. And the preachers, boy, he's getting us all embarrassed today. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Now, you can sit in that chair if you want, but I'm going to be calling you back, so you might as well stay up here. Notice what it says in 14:10. Judgment seat, 14:10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand, I'm in Romans 14 and verse 10, before the judgment seat, the bema seat of Christ. How many see that? There's a day, Brother Kenny, that all Christians are going to go and stand before God Almighty, and it's called the judgment seat of Christ. Now, look up here. Stay there. This judgment is for Christians, and it happens right after the rapture. The next thing that happened on God's calendar for the Christian is the rapture, where God calls us up. The trumpet of God's going to sound, and we're going up. It could be happening right now while I'm preaching. It can happen anytime. Everything's set. I'm ready to go. Amen? I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm waiting for the upper taker. I actually believe I'm going to live to see the rapture. We got the rapture. We go up, and while we're getting new bodies and a whole new overall, amen, glorious bodies that live forever, we're up there for seven, we're up there in heaven for 7 years. Okay? Now watch. During that time, there'll be a little period called the 7 years called the tribulation. Are you with me? I should have you do this. That's why I brought you up here. Okay, now, at the end of that tribulation, Jesus is coming down. There'll be a kingdom age. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's called the millennium or the kingdom. It's 1,000 years. How many see that? After that 1,000 years, God's going to make a new heaven and earth, and he's going to have the white. Yep. Okay, Amelia, let's see here. I think I'm done. I'll let you get back down. Thank you. I thought I was going to need to, because there's no way for, because I wanted to put these in, and she wouldn't know what I wanted. Now watch. I want you, here's God's courtroom. What's the courtroom for the Christians called? Yes, and then, but Romans 14:10, what's it say? Judgment seat of Christ. The Christians, say this, the Christians are going to the judgment seat of Christ. It's in heaven. Okay. And it's right after the rapture. And we get a rapture in the new body. Then we go sometime during that 7 years while we're up in heaven, God's going to have the bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Then there's going to be a 1,000-year reign, kingdom age. And then at the end of that, there's going to be a white throne judgment. And that's for all the lost. This is for the saved. This is for the lost. There's a courtroom. There's a courtroom for the saved. There's a courtroom for the lost. Are you with the preacher? Look at Revelation chapter 20. This is, and look at verse 11 through 15. And by the way, you're in a different courtroom at a different time in a different place. Are you still with me? For a different reason. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne. That's God's, that's the courtroom for the lost. Are you with me? And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. You can't run. Once you're there, you're done. By the way, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book were opened, and this is the book of life. Boy, you better get your name written in the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. In the book of Matthew, don't turn to it. There'll be people that day say, Lord, Lord, did you, he said, depart from me. I never knew you. There's over 1,007 years difference between the court dates. Our court, the Christian court date is a lot sooner than the lost man. Are you with me? And did you ever notice a lot of times when people go to court, they get on trial, and then later, then after the verdict, they wait, the judge, after the verdict comes in, the judge waits another day or so before there's a time elapse before he pronounces judgment. Are you still with me? When people die, look up here, you need to get this. When people die right now in the heart of the earth, there was two places right now in the heart of the earth. Torment and Abraham's bosom. Remember in Luke 16, the beggar died and he went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man opened his eyes in hell, torment. How many are you with me? Abraham's bosom, Abe, and torment. Now watch. When Jesus died on the cross, over here 2,000 years ago, all the people that had faith in Christ in the Old Testament, they were waiting in Abraham's bosom. Are you still with me, church? They couldn't go to heaven because their sins hadn't been paid for yet. Christ, it had to be Christ's blood, not a lamb. The slain of those lambs were just types. They were just symbols of the true Lamb of God that would come and shed his blood for their sins. Even when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says God clothed them. He killed an innocent lamb, showing Adam and Eve the way you're going to get redeemed is through the shed blood of the lamb. And when Jesus came on this earth, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Are you still with me? So all the Old Testament saints like Moses and Elijah, Abraham and Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of them, they all went up. Well, Elijah's there too. But are you still with me? Because Jesus, the Bible said, led those that were captive out of captivity, book of Ephesians. They couldn't go until the blood was shed. Now, all the lost people, these are the saved people. All the lost, even to this day, by the way, and when a saved person dies today, they don't go to this. They go straight up. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So Christians right now, the moment you die, you go right to be with Christ. Isn't that great? Paul said, I'm in a twix between two. Depart and be with Christ or stay here with you, but you need me more, so I'll stay and help you. But the lost, they've been dying and dying and dying. They're still in torment. They're being tormented. But at that great white throne, Andrew, they're all going to go one by one. One by one, they're going to have a court appearing. One by one, they're going to have to stand before God Almighty. One by one, they're going to be sentenced. So you've got the courtroom of the judgment seat of Christ, and you got the courtroom of the white throne judgment. The judgment seat of Christ is the courtroom for the saved. It happens 1,007 years at least before the white throne judgment for the lost. Are you with me? Now stay with me. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment for salvation. That's for our how we live for Christ, our stewardship, our service, our separation. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't lose your salvation. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive reward. In other words, if you really did that for Christ, whatever you do now for Christ, it'll be saved. But if you're just doing to get glory now, it'll burn up. You got your reward right now. If you do whatever you think you're doing for the cause of Christ, if you're not really doing it for the cause of Christ, you're just trying to do it be popular. Or, for instance, if you're just going out door knocking so you can say you went door knocking, or if you give to just to say you gave, or do something to just so you can say you did it, you got your reward right there. But if you're really doing it for the cause of Christ, you're going to get a reward. Are you with me? But look at verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. I'm glad God saves us forever. So when we stand in the courtroom of God, in the judgment seat of Christ, Christians, right after the rapture, soon after the rapture, I don't know exactly what time it will be. I know we're going to get a new body. We're going to be up in heaven. Then after that, after the Bema seat, after the judgment seat, then we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19. Then we come down here and spend 1,000 years with Christ on this earth with glorified bodies. Are you with me? But how many see that the Christian has a courtroom? By the way, look at, I wasn't going to show you this, but look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 10 and 11. This is talking to Christians. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian has to appear, no one excluded. That everyone may be received the things done in his body according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing you're going to come to this courtroom, knowing you've got to make an appearance before God, knowing that you can't escape this courtroom appearance. Look what it says. Knowing that we're the terror of the Lord, he's going to look right into our eyes. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. And what he's saying is this: I hope you get it down deep in your soul and your spirit. You've got a court appearance. Yeah, Christian, you're saved. Yeah, your sins are underneath the blood. Yes, you've been forgiven, but you still got a court appearance, not to be saved, or you wouldn't be there. That's only for this. But you got a court appearance. What you did for Christ after you were saved. You're going to give an account what kind of stewards you were, what kind of service you gave, what kind of separation you lived. A lot of Christians live reckless lives. Well, they'll find out when they get to heaven, they won't be too happy about it. Hello? And so, every Christian, you've got a courtroom. I've got a courtroom date. Some of the things that we think are secret, they're not secret. We all have a courtroom date. Amen? But that courtroom's not for hell. Praise God, that's not for hell. That's already been settled. Then let's look at the second. Then I noted the Christian judgment seat will be all about what we did for Christ after we received him as our Savior. Hebrews 9:28 says, teaches us that Jesus is coming back to give us our salvation. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. How many are looking for Christ? He's got salvation for you if you're looking for him. Now unto all those people that will stand in the white throne judgment, they stand before God at that white throne judgment. One by one, they're going to stand before God. And I'm going to tell you right now, in Romans 3:19, we teach this in Romans, it says, every mouth will be stopped, and all the world guilty. The God of this world is going to take his gavel and guilty. And he's going to say, I love it how every mouse, like when you go to the courtroom now, people are, I notice even the crooks, they put on their good suits and they try to look good and they try to make excuses. You know what the trouble with us? When we do wrong, we always have an excuse, don't we? But what we need to do is look in the mirror and say, you know what? It's not your fault, it's my fault. In God's courtroom at the white throne judgment, God's going to say, a shut of your mouth. And no talk. Zip it up. The time for pleading for mercy is over. See, the reason you got here, because the judgment seat of Christ is mercy. This, you lost, if you get to this point, you've lost mercy. now the judgment. And see, Romans 3:19 says, every mouth stop, and the whole world guilty. You're guilty. God said, be silent. You're guilty. Why are you guilty? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. See, we've all sinned. We all come short of the glory of God. Amen? Now stay with me. Are you still with me? The whole world's guilty. In the courtroom, people will try to put on a good face, and they'll have all kinds of excuses, but God will say, no. Silence. God is not going to take any excuses. By the way, that means me, you, or anyone else, no one's excluded. If you don't get saved, you'll be in that white throne judgment. You'll be in that courtroom with God. And that courtroom there is a bad courtroom to be in. Because there's no pardon there. There's no mercy there. And there's no second chance there. When you get to this courtroom, it's eternity. It's already 10 minutes to 12. Let me give you about three thoughts. And I might give you four if I got time. Let me give you three quick thoughts. I thought about this courtroom. The reason someone's brought to court before the judge is that they're alleged to do committed a crime or a trespass. The Bible says we all trespass against God. We've all sinned. Are you with me? They're innocent until proven guilty, but God's already proven us guilty. We're sinners. It says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. God's word says, for all have sinned. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Unless you get saved, you're going to that courtroom house in the white throne judgment. Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 9 and 10. What then? We are better than they? No, in no wise we, for we have both proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. I don't care if you're Jew or Gentile, you're all under sin. As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Oh, my. What a condemnation. Wow. I'm glad Jesus came to save us. Amen? Notice, I want you to look at the Gospel of John. Why are we giving phones back? Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Look at John 3. I know I'm giving you a Bible study today, but I want you to get this. I'm more worried about people learning truth than tickling your ear. Look at 3, verse 17. Gospel of John. For God sent not a son in the world to condemn the world, but the world, that the world through him might be what? He that believeth on him is not what? But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he had not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation that light's come into the world. That's Jesus. He's the light of the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. How many see that? Stay in John. Are you with me? Look at the wrath. Look at John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Look at one more verse. Look at John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Every person here is condemned till you get Christ. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you stand in condemnation. The Bible says you must be justified to get to heaven. And the only way you get justified, you got to come to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But I want to read you a scripture in Timothy. Let me read you a scripture in Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. I love it. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Aren't you glad he gave us for all? There's one mediator between God and man. Okay, Andrew, come on up here. Both Andrews. Give me your lightning. Come on up here on the platform, fellas. Okay, let's see. You be God. You be Jesus. Come here. Give me lightning. Okay. Here's Jordan Howard. Jordan, according to the Bible, me and Jordan are the same thing. We're both condemned. We're both sinners. How many see that? Now, me and Jordan want to get to heaven. How many want to go to heaven? But me and Jordan can't get to heaven on our own because we're all sinners. We're just no good, filthy, no good sinners. We really are. Oh, we might be better than others, but we all fall short. Every one of us. Like yesterday, I yelled at that coach from Ohio State. I was mad the way he was coaching that game. If I could have got to him, I'd have twisted his head right off his neck yesterday. See, that's sin. I hate to lose. Not especially when I got the players to win. Anyways, but you see, the preacher's got a bad temper. That's sin. Hello? And even as good as this kid is, I guarantee if I talk to his mom and dad, they'd tell me something on him. I don't see, this kid's one of the greatest kids. Matter of fact, our kids here, we got good kids here. But I guarantee you, somewhere in their life, they're messing up somewhere. Even these boys, who I think so highly of also. But here's Jesus, and there's God. We're gonna stand. Me and Howard and all you are gonna stand before God. And we can't stand by ourselves because we have no righteousness to stand by ourselves. But then came Jesus. Then came Jesus to our defense. He knew everyone had a court date. He knew everyone had to go have a day with court with God. And by the way, you have to show up in court in this life and in the next. And so Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin, sinless, died for our sins, and arose that third day. And now not only did he die for us, but now he's our defense. He's our mediator. He's our go-between man and God. Are you with me? And so what Jesus did, he goes before God and says, God, these two sinners, they've trusted me as their Savior, and I want you to pardon them. Amen. Are you with me? How many are still with me? See, you're a good lawyer. I watch all these slick lawyers. Some of them lawyers, I don't know why. The kid, sometimes I think these lawyers, they know the law. But no one knows the law better than Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the greatest lawyer of all. We got some good lawyers. Debbie Black's got a brother that's a good lawyer. He is a good lawyer too. But even Jesus is better. Amen? Now watch this. If we went to court without this lawyer, by the way, why do people always get a lawyer? They want someone to represent them to hope to get them out. That's right. The Bible says in Timothy, Jesus is our mediator between God and man. He goes between, and what he does, he makes it possible for me and Brother Howard to get to heaven. Because what happens is this. God says, no! They're sinners! I'm going to judge sin. He said, yes, you did, Father. But you judged sin in me. And they've trusted me, and my blood covers them.
Amen.
And so, Father, on their behalf of these two young men, I like that. Good, thank you. Call me a young man. Yeah, that's good. Keep saying, I'm going to make you Jesus again. And I plead the blood. I plead the blood, Father. They're covered with my blood, which is sinless. All right. I want you to see some. Thank you, fellas. Look, you're in Timothy? Look at Hebrews with me real quick. Oh, this is so good. I'm running out of time. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 23. To the general, in Hebrews 12, 23. Hebrews chapter 12, 23. And the church, the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. How many see that? And the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Wait a minute. Look up here. Mark, we're not pardoned. See, I know like a lot of times prisons can pardon people in prison. It doesn't say they just got pardoned. See, Brother Carl, you and I are not pardoned. Because then we'd still be guilty. We have been made perfect. We've been exonerated. Amen. See, so men made perfect. We've been made perfect through Christ. Amen. Kenny, when you got saved, God saw you just as though you've never sinned. Amen. Oh, that guy's not a sinner. No, I don't see no. Matter of fact, the Bible says as far as east as west, that's how far he's taken our sins. Ronnie, God don't even see not one of our sins. They've all been covered. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? And the Bible says in Hebrews, and your sins and your iniquities, we're close to where I'm at right now, and your sins and iniquities I remember no more, because why don't you remember our attorney, our defense attorney? Those, thank God for lawyers. The lawyer's got lawyer's got a good name when it talks about Jesus, amen? Good lawyer, Jesus. And that defense, Jesus goes to our defense before God. So we don't have to go to this courtroom of the white throne judgment. We got mercy. And see, the judgment seat is for those who got mercy and grace. And then, but those that reject Christ, they forfeited their mercy and grace, so now they get everlasting punishment. The lake of fire, forever torment, never, ever stopping. Forever and ever. Now there's two courtrooms. One for the saved, one for the lost. And the only way you can get in the courtroom for Christians is you gotta have that mediator, that defense lawyer that God's provided. And that's his name is Jesus. Amen. And I want to just say this in closing to you. Just like you must show up for man's court system, everyone will show up for God's system. You must show up for God's system. No one's excluded and no one's exempt. And just like man's court sets a date, God's got a set date. Isn't that amazing how the court system's set up by God? See, everything revolves around this Bible. And just like man's court, they have an appointed time and set time for a court, and you must show, so must everyone in God's court. A wise man will make a preparation for the defense before he summons to the court. Are you with me? I'm done. Let me say this to you. You're either going to be at this courtroom or you're going to be at this courtroom. You're either going to be at the judgment seat of Christ or you're going to be at the white throne. You're going to be at one of those. You're going to be at one of those. The only way you get to this one, you got to have a defense attorney. They failed to take attorney with them. Oh, they tried to take the world and themselves and their works. They didn't make it. There's only one defense attorney that can save you, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Brother Coolidge, anyone that's got any brains, if you know for sure you're going to have to show up for court, and the only way you can get out of the judgment is bring the right defense lawyer. There's only one defense lawyer. It's not Allah.
That's right.
It's not Buddha.
Yeah.
It's not Muhammad.
That's right.
It's not Sun Moon. It's not Jim Johnson. It's not whatever all these wackos that walk around on roller skates with their head. People, you know what? You can gather a crowd because people are gullible. I'm amazed at how blind the world really is. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And today, if you've never got that mediator, if you've never got that defense lawyer, a smart man, a wise man would prepare, because you got a court coming up. Who's going to represent you in God's courtroom? Is Jesus, or are you going to defend yourself? Have you made preparations to stand before God? Have you secured Jesus as your defense lawyer, your mediator between you and God? By the way, today some of you might want to say, I've never done that, preacher. Well, you could do it today. You can make Christ your Savior and take Christ and have him stand before God Almighty and take your judgment, so you wouldn't have to be judged yourself. Amen? See, he took our stripes on the cross of Calvary. Isaiah says, by his stripes we are healed. There's going to be a court. There's a court hearing for all people. Man's got their court system. God's got his court system. You will go to court someday with God. You will not escape that courtroom appearance. Hopefully you'll have the mediator, the defense lawyer called Jesus. That'll get you off. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great mediator, Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, for him being our defense lawyer. Lord, I just pray with all my heart that you would help people to understand today they have no defense of themselves. Every mouth stopped. All the world guilty. The only one that could speak up for them was Christ. The only one that can plead their a plea bargain for their soul is Christ. I wonder, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, how many this morning would say, preacher, I have made Jesus my Savior. He is my defense lawyer before God. Can you say that I've been saved? That I know who my defense lawyer is? Thank you. You may put him down. Maybe you're today and you don't want to stand before God's judgment in God's courthouse, in God's courtroom. And you're not prepared to stand before God by yourself, but you'd sure like that mediator. You'd sure like that defense lawyer called Jesus to help you get into heaven, to make a way for you. How many say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I am concerned. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand. Who'd say that today? Yes, I see that. Who else? Pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. I see that. Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Yes, I see it. Who else? Pray for me. I'd like to make Jesus my defense attorney today. I'd like to be my Savior. I need that mediator to get me to heaven. I want Christ to be my Savior. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. Pray for me. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that you would help us today to understand that there is a coming day when we're going to stand before God Almighty. And there is a courtroom that God's going to judge and preside over. The judge of the world, God Almighty, his courtroom. And Father, I pray that we'd be prepared to stand in the courtroom of God. And Father, I pray today, I saw two or three hands that went up, said they were not sure, they were really concerned. I pray today if they're not saved, that they'd come and be saved. Maybe some couldn't raise their hand today, but they'd want to come. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, work in their heart. Help them to see Christ loves them. Christ died for them. Christ arose just for them so they could have eternal life in the free pardon of sin. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page am I, Mark?